Alright guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Black Expat. My name is Carl and I'm very excited to be bringing you a very special 15th episode. I've made it to episode 15. I'm really excited to be talking about all the topics that we've been talking about. I'm even more appreciative of all the feedback I've been getting, both positive and negative. I take those into account with each podcast that I do. So thank you guys for, you know, keeping me humble, for keeping me on my toes, and for asking questions. I really appreciate that. At the end or in the description of each podcast, don't forget, I leave all my social media handles. Feel free to contact me using whichever of those methods that you see fit or that you think works best or that you think I should be using or I should be talking about. It's really, really up to you guys. Go ahead. You do it. It's up to you. So today, what I want to talk about is something that has been being talked about recently on Twitter. I've seen it in a few of the Facebook feeds that my friends have been talking about. It's been going on in a few of my friendship circles as well. And also a lot of different communities throughout, you know, the world, meaning that friends that I have from different places who I've been seeing talk about, not necessarily as it relates to black people, but how it relates to success worldwide. So basically, the topic was, and what's been coming up was, how do we define success, or how do we visualize, or when we think about success within the black community, what things come to mind? And what things should you have in order to deem yourself successful, or to deem yourself woke, or to deem yourself, you know, a lot of these different things and words we've been throwing around that are associated with success and, you know, making it, if you will. Not even just making it, just being black in general. And I guess before I touch on that, I guess one of the things that I thought about when I heard this was, what did I think about when I was a student, right? So when I was younger, when I was in high school and junior high school and even in college, like the way I viewed success was so very different than the way I view success now. And success in and of itself, what I realized, and a lot of people do as well, I'm assuming, is different for everyone. But one of the key questions that kind of came from that was a conversation about Nike suits, Jordan shoes versus having a passport. Now, for me as a world traveler and as a black expat, I put a lot of importance on people of color, especially men of color, having passports. Not just having a passport, because anyone can get one, right? If you're an American citizen, as long as you don't have any felonies, which is a whole nother thing to me, which I think is extremely unfair, but it's for specific kinds of felons. Like if you're out there killing people, then you know, whatever. But specific kinds of felons, especially felons within the black communities, for these laws that have been created to hold us back, I don't think that's necessarily a good law to have in place. But what I will say is that to me, I put a lot of weight on having a passport and using it. Right? It's not just having it, but actually putting it into practice, getting outside of the country, exploring different things, seeing different things. Right? For me, my life changed completely, not just my life and how and what I wanted to do and how I saw myself, but how I saw the world and how I saw specifically America changed my life once I stepped outside of the country, once I put my passport to use. Now, to just say that, it doesn't say that anyone that I know or anyone that I've experienced or been around who hasn't necessarily used their passport or who hasn't been out of the country, been able to go to these places that I've been so fortunate enough to go to, it doesn't mean I look down on them in any way. But I do encourage them to make it a point in life, not as early as I did or not as late as some other people do, but when they can, if it's a priority for them, to get outside of the country at least once or twice, maybe even three times if they can, to explore and see different countries. And through previous podcasts, I've kind of talked about how I don't think that necessarily means that, you know, you have to go to an all-inclusive resort. I really don't think that getting outside the country and using your passport means going to the Caribbean islands or to Cancun or to the Bahamas and staying in an all-inclusive resort. When I say use your passport, I mean really go out and explore a completely different culture in a completely different place in a completely different light and actually talk to people, right? So when I'm saying put a passport to use, that's what I'm saying. But another person's argument was that I guess on the Twitter thread, people were saying, well, oh, well, that's not necessarily my definition of success or something I feel like I need to do. For me, if I choose to spend my money on buying Jordan shoes or if I want to buy suits or if I, you know, want to buy a nice car, that's a choice that I have. I shouldn't be viewed as not being a woke black person or being a black person who doesn't know anything or doesn't know any better, hasn't traveled or hasn't seen anything different because I'm choosing to spend my money the way I want to spend my money. And And I kind of think that reaction kind of came from, here's what I will say. I've met some travelers, black people especially, not especially, but black people, white, like any, all color people, who, you know, when they talk about their travels with other people, like they kind of express it in a way that, oh, you haven't been there. I was like, oh, you've been here? Oh, well, you haven't been here yet, though. You should probably get here. Like, you should definitely go here. You know, and when I say you should definitely go, I'm encouraging people to go out and see things. But like I always say, if it's not for you, traveling isn't for everybody. It's not something that everybody wants to do. There are certain ways people like to travel, certain ways people want to travel. When certain people think of traveling, they think of these experiences in much different ways than I do. So what I do is I have a platform where I share my perspectives on my travels. I share what I've learned. I share what I experienced. I share how I felt about what I've learned, you know, in hopes of inspiring somebody who has no idea whatsoever about traveling to want to travel. Or inspiring someone who is well-traveled, who's been to multiple places, who's seen lots of things all around the world, you know, to want to travel even more. But this idea, and I don't know if it's just a millennial thing or what, that having a passport and not only just having it, because it's more than just having one, but having one and having used it, you know, as a sign of making it in the black community. Because I know a lot of people who I would consider really, really successful who've never left America, who have no, you know, have no, the furthest thing from their mind when I'm going back and I'm having lunch with them or brunch, talk to them about their lives and their families, and they're getting married, they're having kids, or they're engaged and they're about to get married. The furthest thing from their mind is a passport. Now, for some of these people who are getting married, they're like, oh, do I need a passport to go to this country? And I'm like, well, if it's not America or Canada, I think, then yeah. Right? So then it kind of comes into their mind. It's like, all right, you know, when you get married, what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to take a trip, right? You're supposed to go out of the country. You're supposed to have this lavish, you know, honeymoon. And that's a very American custom, right? But in the black community, what is that, like, what are those symbols of success? So is a symbol of success a person with a nice car and a condo, married with children? But again, is that what the entire black community looks at and says, bam, that's successful? Like, can success be someone that has, that's like me, single, unmarried, means the same thing, sorry. A single person who's traveled to more than 35 countries, who has two passports because one's filled with stamps. Like, is that a way to, you know, to resemble success? Does that mean that I've had a successful life? So I think one of the things that I asked them, I said, well, what is the barometer that you're using to kind of justify how you're categorizing the success you have in your life? So what I did was, and what I kind of want to talk about is how we view things when I was growing up, right? So when you're in high school, when I was in high school, all the cool kids had cars. So I was in the suburbs, and I went to a school that was about 30, 40 minutes away. Didn't like taking the bus, didn't like taking the train. So I had 14-year-old friends whose parents taught them how to drive and let them drive to school. Because Chicago is dangerous. I went to a school in Roseland, Chicago. If you don't know what Roseland, Chicago is, on 111th, I went to Gwendolyn Brooks College Preparatory Academy. It wasn't the best neighborhood when we were growing up, when I was growing up. People would get beat up. We'd get beat up walking from school, right? Not me in particular, but kids from the school, because we wore school uniforms. And the kids who didn't go to schools that had uniforms, or kids that did, that just didn't like our school or didn't like us, gang members, et cetera, we would walk up the hill literally 2 minutes away from our school, and we would be in fights with neighborhood kids, you know, with rival schools, just fighting. So some parents are like, no, I don't want you being a part of that. My mom, she was like, no, I don't want you being a part of that, but you a boy, figure it out, right? She was worried, text when you get home, I want to make sure you're okay, but you a boy, figure it out, you'll be okay. But the way that, you know, we viewed things, and the way we viewed success, or people who were cool, or people whose parents were well off, was about what they wore, right? It's not about what they did, what jobs they had. Like, we didn't really know, or we didn't really talk about what jobs people's parents had in high school. Nobody cared. All we cared is, oh, your mama got money. You walk into your house, oh man, you got our friends, whoever had the first the gaming console that came out. If you had more than one controller, you made it. Things, tangible things you could touch, right? So back then, everybody wore Jabot jeans and a Sean John and Fat Farm. And Air Force Ones, right? Like, did you wear clean Air Force Ones to school? Were they clean or they dirty? Like, how much money did you have? Like, did you have a car? When you turned 16, after you passed range, were you driving to school? Were you still taking the bus? You know, could you afford to go and get your, you know, to get your driver's license? But all the things that I mentioned and when I reflect on myself were these tangible physical things that you could see that we identified with wealth, with success, with making it. Oh, your parents made it. Are you going to be well off? Right? That's high school. That was my high school mentality. And it wasn't to say that's a bad thing. It's the environment that we grew up in. How much you had, what you had on, that played into how people in high school, how your friends, how girls, how you guys perceived you. Now, a person like me, I had a car when I didn't have a car, so I bought one when I was 17. I drove my mother's car to work every now and again. My big sister looked out. She let me drive it when I was trying to impress girls. When it was snowing, I took the train or I got rides from friends who could. So like I could, there was ways where I could shield my wealth or how much my family was worth. Where it wasn't like, oh, what car are you? Cool, you drive. I don't see you when you're not driving. I see you when you're driving now. You know, it's like, oh, are you riding home with John? Oh, yeah, y'all all cool. Y'all all in the car. You ain't on the bus. You ain't walking. You know, but I say that to say, just from comparing it to high school, is that, man, that a passport, if I seen somebody or heard somebody had a passport, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Right? Because the passport itself isn't enough. And even if someone had said, yeah, I have a passport, I've been to this country, this country, this country, this country, the high school mindset, because it was so material based, I wouldn't be able to make that connection. Right? I think people see me now and even going back and they say, oh, you traveled to this place and this place and this place. And some people who have traveled a lot who assume that, oh, you must be making a lot of money to be able to do that. Or you must have a job that pays you to travel. Or they always ask me, where do you find the time to do that? I love traveling. I wish I had more time to do it. I just don't have the time. Where do you make the time? Where do you find the time? How do you do that? Right? That's one end of the spectrum. And then there's the other end where it's like people who have no concept of traveling at all, never traveled. Not no concept of traveling, but it's just not their thing. It's something they just don't really know about. Who just say, oh, okay, that's nice. No follow-up questions. No questions about the countries. Like, I'll get some about, you know, the things about Taiwan. Oh, they think it's China, or you live in China, how's that? And, you know, things of that nature. But it's really nothing beyond that. And I think, and I associate that with my own mentality before I started traveling. It was like, I don't understand it, so I can't place, you know, a value on it. And that also led me to question, why do we have to place a value on things? Right? Because, and here's why I say that. Because in college, everything changed. Like from high school to college, instant changing of how I viewed wealth, how I viewed success, but more importantly, how much I cared about things. Because the college is all about survival. I was fortunate enough to get a full tuition leadership-based scholarship from the Posse Foundation, right? Covered everything academic tuition-wise. Did not cover room and board. So first year of college, you know, you get that bill, what it was, $40,000 a semester at DePaul. So I'm like, okay. I see 33,000 is covered. Now I got to find $7,000. You know, didn't have a scholarship, so I got some financial aid, but I had to work. And then it kind of hits you. Well, I'm not back at home in Chicago, so I can't work a full-time job because I'm going to school full-time. So then you have work study, you know, then you have to figure out how to make money to eat because I had to drive 3 hours to school, so I had to have a car. You have a car, you have to have a car note. Then you have to have a girlfriend, you got to be able to take her out. Then you got to still have things. Right? You have to have nice clothes for, you know, your college events. But you can't have the same clothes you wore in high school because you can't wear clothes that are 4 times your size. I mean, you can. If I wanted to, I could. But I was appealing to a different audience, right? Because the idea of success in college shifted. It shifted away from what I had on as to what I was following. Right, where I was trying to be, there were a certain level of requirements I needed to meet academically, professionally, like internships and stuff like that. Ways you had to dress for internships, like nobody knew that my very first suit, or nobody even cared, and neither did I. My first suit came from Burlington Coat Factory, $90, because when I walked in there, I looked the part. But how I got those pieces to make me look the part didn't matter as much, because like really nobody knew how much it cost unless I told them. So then I guess, again, unless I told them. So my concept of wealth and success changed because you don't really know in college whose parents were wealthy or how much money someone had unless they told you. Right? Some things you can see, like they're driving a brand new Benz or a Bentley or a Ferrari, or they pull up in a Range Rover. You can kind of guess, but you're still not too sure. Right? Because they're pulling up and for most part, college students' rooms fairly look the same. You're all in the same kind of dorm. Yeah, you can decorate with a whole bunch of stuff or not. You can be like, oh, well, you can't really tell if he's rich or not. Maybe he's just really organized. He doesn't like clutter, right? He doesn't want a TV because he doesn't want to be distracted. So, like, I say all this to say, just like the idea of what success was shifted. It changed. It was no longer about what I had, what other people had, what other people were doing, what other people were wearing, what other people had in their pockets. That no longer mattered. That no longer cared. Like, I no longer cared. So when it comes to, like, traveling and a passport, like, it kind of it's one and the same. It's like, I don't know when I'm traveling how much money a person has, if they've made it. I don't know, because I travel a lot, if I have even made it. And if so, made it to what? Made it to what? And I think one of the things that I make sure I want to kind of address is people say sometimes when, and I realized this too when I first went back home 7 years ago. Like, oh, like, you have to make sure. And someone checked me on it. I think it was one of my, no one checked me on it. I kind of realized that, well, you know, when you speak about your travels, there's a way that you need to speak about it to some people. And again, I don't change how I am, or I don't change how I address things, but there is a way where you could sound very pretentious, bougie, stuck up, arrogant when talking about the travels that I've been on. Right? Like, oh yeah, like, I was on this boat and it was nice. I was on the beach and I did all this and I did all that. This was before, again, social media, where you can create a fake life on social media and everybody thinks you're this one kind of person and you're really not. So for me, like, the idea of in the Black community of what symbolizes when you made it, one, depends on the generation that you're talking to, right? I think every generation is different. Like, for the best example I have is when I was talking to my sister, and who's in college now. 2 years ago, before she went, she was all about shoes, all about clothes, this and that, had buying all these shoes. I'm like, Angel, save your money. You're going to need your money for when you get to school. Don't worry about it. I got it. You don't even have to worry about it, bro. I got it. I'm cool. I can buy these shoes. And now she in college sounding like me. Man, I ain't bought no shoes since high school. And I don't even care. I keep them clean. The shoes I do get, I keep them clean. If I need something, I'll buy some shoes that I need or some clothes that I need. But if it's not a need, then I don't care. Because nobody cares at the end of the day what I got on. It's about what I'm doing. What are you doing in school right now? What connections do you have? Who do you know? Where have you been? What jobs are you connected to? What professors do you know? Right? What opportunities have you been presented? Right? What are some things that you have coming up that you're looking to do? What opportunities are flowing your way? These are things in college when you get ready to graduate, and even now in life, that you're looking for. Who are you connected with? Who is your circle? Who is your network? What is your net worth? So it kind of shifts. And it kind of relates to travel, because, like, all right, what are you doing? And I guess the question I'm asking, and I'm kind of talking through with you guys, is the fact that some people travel more and they're doing more means they're more successful. Is that an adequate way to measure success? Is that in a Black community, this person's successful because they've been to so many different places? Like, ignoring the fact of how they got there or how much it costs, right? And, like, the methods they use to make it happen. Just the fact that, all right, you have a passport and you use it often, that person is successful. They've defied the system. Like, they've succeeded in ways that most other Black people have not. Not just by going to, you know, the places everyone goes to, quote unquote, but they've gone beyond that. That's success. The same way you can say this person, like, in college, academically, they've done something that most Black people haven't been able to do. They've achieved uncommon academic success. This person, the CEO of a company, Oprah, that's uncommon success, something that not all people do. People have access to it, the ability to get there, but not everybody achieves it. Beyonce and Jay-Z, people have access to those levels of success, but everyone's not achieving it. So they are successful, right? There are also different levels of success. So someone getting a passport, that's success. Using it once or twice, success. Using it even more than that, that's just success. So that's the way I choose to kind of look at it. It's no matter what you're doing, it's success as long as you're excelling in what you're doing. and it's what you want to do. I don't see the point in putting people down for using their passport. I don't see it, or having a passport, or liking traveling and making traveling a point for them to do all the time. I see no wrong in that. I see wrong in people who do that, looking down on others who don't. But I see no wrong in that, because I've always said that that American culture is set up, and the way we're educated is set up to keep you in America. The way we learn history, America wins. America's the greatest, right? The way we learn about our culture, everything you need is in America. The way we describe America, it's the melting pot. You can get everything, a combination of everything you need in America. So if you're brought up hearing that in education over and over again, being taught it over and over again, and also in America, you have different climates in different parts of the United States of America, and you know that that's a reality, then you're not as motivated or as ready to go out and go to other countries. It's not a priority for you, because you feel like, and you've been educated and you've been told, that everything you need is already here. There's nothing worth going outside of the country to see and to do and to be a part of, because everything you need is right here. Song about New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Like, big lights will inspire you. Everything's in New York. You have Chinatowns all over America. You have Koreatowns. You have your Latin American and your Hispanic towns. You have your Black communities. You have your white communities. You have your Irish and your Polish. Like, you have all those things in America, and you're told you have these things in America, authentic things in America. So what is the need, or what is the want, to go out of America? So we're taught to, again, patriotism. People don't, it goes beyond, you know, just saying the national anthem, or knowing the Pledge of Allegiance, or standing and putting your hand over your heart for the flag, right? Our culture is really designed to keep, in my opinion, keep us in America. Because, again, America, greatest country in the world. Everything you need is right here. If you leave America, it's not going to be the same. Right, and the reason why I say this, and I say this from experience, is because I've had people who I've hired who've come over here and just, nope, it's not like home. Why don't they do this? This is how we do it in America. Why can't you do it like here in Taiwan? Taiwan is different, but in America we do it this way, and this is the right way. But they're not saying it as though, you know, let's make changes to make it better. No, this is the right way, because this is how America does it, and that's the mentality a lot of people share. So then when you ask them, oh, when you have no stamps in your passport, it's like, oh, well, I don't need to, right? It's, I don't need to have that to be successful in the Black community. I don't need to have certain things to be successful, right? But do you need to have something? If you don't have a passport, do you need to have nice clothes? Do you need to have a nice car? Do you need to have a nice house, right? I have a passport. I have a very, very nice house. Don't have a car. I have a scooter. Bought my scooter 7 years ago, got that same scooter. Why? Taiwan, nobody cares. Does it get you from point A to point B? Yeah. What I do care about, when I walk into your house, what does your house look like? Then I know you made it. Is it dirty? Is it clean? Do you have nice dishes? Like, we have a dog. Again, symbols of success that are different. And in Taiwan, you know, just the idea of getting outside of the country and patriotism, it's very different. You know, parents pay... For the fact that I can be an English teacher in Taiwan and they pay me more money than local people to teach a foreign language is because they want their children, they want their students, they want their family members to get outside of Taiwan, because more opportunity is out there, right? Their patriotism is strong. Like, yes, I'm Taiwanese, but I want to go out. It's a very small island, so that kind of makes sense. You want to go out because you can make more money in more places. But they want you to go out and make money, but they always want you to come back home. Right, they want you to go out first, get some experience, learn some different languages. So when you come back home, you are of more worth because you are worldly. You bring different things to the table because you are worldly. You speak different languages, so you can get those foreigners who want to come to your country and spend that money. They want you to go out into the world when you're young, Taiwanese parents, Taiwanese students. That's why they learn English from kindergarten. Get this English foundation, go out into the world, go to a school in a different country. Have this experience in a different country. They encourage it more than any other cultures I've been around. Well, in Taiwan, they encourage it a lot. I won't say more than any other culture I've been around, because a lot of other cultures do. But it's so encouraged within, you know, Asian communities in Taiwan for that reason. Where I view America has been very different. I was encouraged in college to go out to go to different countries. But I had no idea of this in high school, where it kind of starts, where that ambition should be growing. It's like, nah, you know what? Go to college in America. I had no idea that I could have, in high school, went to study in a different country, did a homestay. I would have loved to have done that. But it's not something that my school prioritized. Do other schools have it? Yes. Are these schools usually more wealthy than others? Absolutely. So then you have these CEOs, and you have these people, these vice presidents, who are mostly white, to be honest. And you have all these people who are in upper, higher positions, who have all this culture, who are running international business, or just business, period. But they can run these businesses in this way because they have that worldly perspective. They can appeal to more than just Americans. And then you have your American-Americans who's, nah, I don't need no worldly, because I'm just focusing on the American audience because it's so big, and that's fine. Again, nothing against that. But there's also the other side of that, that international, people want to be a global brand, like Odell Beckham. He's a global brand. People know him globally. The NBA is a global sport, right? The NFL is trying to branch out and become a global sport. They're trying to become a global entity, so people know them all over the world, to tap into that money, tap into that those markets that are untapped. So I say all this to say that, you know, the levels of success and the way that we view things has, you know, in my opinion, like travel and having a passport and using it often hasn't really been put that high on the, you know, this in the black community on the success ladder, because it's really, really hard to measure. And we've just been taught for so long, black, white, and to me, everybody that's American, that everything you need is already in America. So when you ask people, you ask like the common person about like Jordan suits and passports, which one measures success? What I was saying and picking up on Twitter was a lot of animosity towards people who are like, yeah, having a passport is more important than having Jordans. No, just because you travel and all this don't mean that. It gets back to I spend my money the way I want to spend my money. See, we're not talking about money. We're talking about measures of success. Right? And I look at the person who spends their money, or, you know, is successful and wears shoots from Marshalls and Kmart. If you're successful, you're successful. It don't matter how you got there. You can wear suits from Kmart. You can wear your Jordan shoes. You can have on you work at Dave and Buses and you be the general manager of Dave and Buses. Or you have a passport and travel to all these different countries. Like, it doesn't. It's just success. But I think it really, you know, talking about that and like talking about the idea of having a passport kind of brought up all these other ideas and perspectives that I had, that I kind of been talking about in regards to how not just the black community, but how, you know, Americans view travel, in my opinion, based on Americans that I've talked to. And I think we all say, and this is what I say as an agent, everybody always talks about how much they want to travel, but is the culture that you're in set up in a way to allow you to do that, right? America, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 21 days vacation during the year for the most part. But then our holidays, you want to take extra time off for that. Christmas, you don't get time off, you want to take extra time off for that. Very, very small amount of time to actually get out and vacation and in a way that you want to, right? So the way that the culture is set up, it pushes you towards the all-inclusive experiences. It's easier, right? It's a lot harder to save up 2 weeks out of the year to do a Euro trip, right? Now, when you're older, so it's set up to when you're young, you travel. So when you're in college, if you're able to do so, then that's, you travel while you're in college, or you take a year off right after college and you travel and you come back. Then you work, family, marry, retire, travel again. Whereas places like Australia, they get months, 1 month, 2 months off a year. Travel, become global, learn as much as you can, bring that back, help us expand. Right, and that's because America is one of the greatest countries in the world, the greatest country in the world. The concept, everything you need is right here. Everybody else is trying to catch up. And then I've always struggled with this, like, well, what are we missing out on by assuming everybody's trying to catch up and we don't need to do some of the things that they're doing, right? Again, I still am a firm believer that people should, if they can, if they're interested in it and they think it's something that they want to do, they should do it. there are some people that I've learned that just don't. I have no interest in traveling. Afraid of airplanes. Cool. Respect that. Get your success however you want. But I see such a huge benefit specifically for black men in traveling and seeing the world and changing your perspective and bringing the knowledge that you've learned from travel early on, later on, doesn't matter when, back home. Seeing how different things are, they can be, how you can make changes, like seeing how big and great the world is. America is great, we know that, but the world also has so much to offer. And at the same time, I want to get back to this question of, you know, Jordan shoes and Jordan socks and Jordan suits is what they were talking about, and Jordan shoes and nice cars and nice houses. Yeah, these things are measures of success as well. So I guess in my opinion, there's really no answer to that question. Right. I guess, do I think that having traveled and seen a lot is a sign of making it, so to speak? I think it really depends on the method you use to do it. Like for me, I feel like I hustled my way to being able to travel. You know what I'm saying? I came out here after a year, moved up to manager, had all those struggles and trials and tribulations, you know, and fought through those and still was able to go out and explore and see different things while still maintaining my job and expanding in those ways too. So I figure myself being successful and being able to travel and do the things I've done professionally. Yes, absolutely. I've been successful in some of the things that I've done. Am I a definition of success? I don't think so. I think I'm a small example of the way in which you can be successful in travel. But there are multiple ways in which you can be successful in travel as well. Like the same thing with the person who chooses to buy Jordan shoes, buy expensive clothes and expensive cars. They're successful doing something. But in the black community, how do we want to measure success? It's a choice that we have to make. Like, how do we want to view people who are successful? What things do we want to highlight in our community? What are the most important things? I don't have those specific answers. I think everybody puts weight in different things. But one thing that I always say that kind of keeps me grounded is that you can always make more money. But you can't make more time. And you can use your time meaning time with family, close friends, people you love, and travel. Travel makes it up there. Because the experiences I have, money couldn't buy some of the things that I've seen, I've done, people I've met, crying in circles with people I've known for, you know, 2 weeks because we've had such amazing experiences. We learned so much about one another. Money couldn't buy that. Right? So I get it's just different ways to look at it. And I really hope that I've been able to kind of talk through with you guys, like how I'm feeling about that, because I do kind of want to revisit it with another guest to kind of talk about, you know, their perspective on symbols of making it in the black community. Is it cars? Is it clothes? Is it jobs? Is it marriage? Is it kids? Is it your house? Right? Does travel fit into that? Having traveled to a bunch of countries, is that a measure of success? If so, why? How? You know, like all these things, all these questions I have, and I kind of do want to talk a little bit more about an upcoming podcast. But podcast number 16 will be a very special one. The next one, I'll be talking about my experience in Kenya, an experience I had like none other. Kenya, how it definitely changed my life, changed my perspective. And I really, really want you guys to tune into that. So it's coming up the next episode. Skip forward. Episode 16, bringing it to you. Boom, 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 boom. As always, thanks for tuning in. Hit me up with any further comments you have on any of my social media handles. Leave comments below. Also, write a review if you can, too. I need some more reviews, guys. Help me get more listeners, more followers. Refer me to a friend. Appreciate all the love. Appreciate all the support. What else? So, I'm Carl. We out, cheer.